Thank you for joining us. And now we want to talk to you about our God-centered concept discipleship series that we have been promoting for a very long time on this show. Here is the book, Victory in Seven by T.S. Wright, the God-centered concept discipleship series that teaches you what real discipleship looks like. This first book will simply get into the foundational process. Make sure you go to Amazon.com and order your copy right now.
Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth, discipleship, and the calling of spreading revival. Now your host, T.S. Wright.
Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I'm so glad you could join us today. And obviously, if you haven't already, hit that follow, subscribe button, and also give us a like. We appreciate and value you as being a part of our Kingdom Crossroads community. Joining us today is a guy that is all about bikes. He is all about books and ministry. And you are going to love this story. This guy has a very compelling story. He's retired, and he's going to talk to you more about that. But I'm going to say this. After I went through his information, I could not pass him up being on this show. So, Joe Tarantino, welcome to the show.
T.S., thank you so much for having me here. And now you've set the bar pretty high for me to reach, but I'll do the best I can. So, Joe, thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Joe, you're going to do great. I have no doubt about it. So your story itself is just compelling to me, and I think it will be for many of our listeners. So, Joe, here's what I want to do. Let's just start this off by you just simply describing, just really going through your journey, really sharing with our audience your story. So, you know what, Joe? Take it away.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version because the other one is going to take too long. But I started out biking. People said, when did you start this journey? Because I've been through all 50 states. I said, how long did it take you? I said, well, about 6 decades. First time my dad pushed me over the hill on the bike and I crashed into the swing set. And from there, I finally got back on and learned how to ride. And initially it was, like anybody else, utilitarian, ride to the neighbor's houses and things like that. And I just never considered bicycling as part of my identity. I was very much an introvert. I worked in a lab. I started in high school, and to me, sitting in front of an analytical balance, weighing up stuff to a tenth of a milligram was just pure pleasure. And just as long as nobody would talk to me. And eventually I went to college and met my wife, got married, and began a career and realized you had to talk to people in order to improve in your career. And so I did. I got into chemistry. That's what my master's was in, analytical chemistry. And then I got into engineering, got an MBA, did a lot of management work, and was involved with our local church. We go to the Nazarene Church, was on the church board as a leadership team secretary, and a lot of ministries there. Did a lot of good things, I will say. And the Lord finally, kind of a confluence of events, mid-late 50s, and I felt the Lord calling me to retire. And at first I thought, I don't want to retire because I don't want to retire because I think I want to have fun in retirement, not do anything. And I prayed about it, but the more it kind of came about, the Lord said, if I am asking you to retire and you don't do it, then you're being disobedient. And it's not a matter of whether, and you may not retire and have all the fun you thought or the lazy time you thought you were going to have, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to retire. So I felt convinced that was the Lord's plan for me to retire at 58. I did. And he had blessed us both with good jobs and some financial wisdom. We were able to do that. And then I retired and I thought, well, this is going to be good. I'm going to get all this biking in. I always wanted to ride my bike across the country and connect some of the routes that I had done before. And I had kind of gone through about 14 states, and I was all ready to get going. And within a couple of weeks after I retired, one of the reasons why I felt compelled to retire early, my dad was 97 and failing health, and I thought I needed to help my brother take care of him. He was about an hour away. And my dad had a series of mini strokes that left him unable really to kind of care for himself. And so my full-time job was converted from working at as a manager in a foundry to driving a 2-hour round trip to take care of my dad. And that lasted for about a year, and he passed away. And by the time we finally got things settled down, I finally felt it was time for me to get on the bike again. And I did. And it was about a year and a half, 2 years later. And I talk about a lot of it in my book that I just published, but I realized that it was not just about riding a bike and writing a book, which is what I wanted to do. God kind of said, you know, I've kind of taken care of you on this trip, just as you prayed for some of the concerns you had. And now I would like you to share your feelings, some of these things that as an introvert, you don't like to share. I'm going to ask you to share those in a written word in a book. And I was like, oh man, don't ask me to do that, God, anything but that. And it's like, you know, you prayed for protection on these trips, traveled across the country through deserts, through mountains by yourself, some pretty dangerous situations. And I was faithful to you, and I kept you from harm. And now all I'm asking you to do is just be more vocal about your faith. So that led to the first book. And anyway, so I thought, well, okay, now I got that accomplished. I can just kind of sit back and do the vision I had for bicycling. And gradually it came into focus. And it really wasn't at the time, it wasn't something that I had set out to do, but God kind of laid it on my heart. And I didn't really feel it was God at the time, but in retrospect, I know it was, that I developed this goal. It's called 50 by 70. It was ride through all 50 states before you hit 70. And I managed to do it just a few weeks after I turned 68. And I'm so glad that I finished early, because the last 6 months have been a rough thing from the health standpoint, and I'm glad I got through it. But through all that, the destination was never about that God wanted me to get through all 50 states. I've published my book, and just it's unbelievable the things and the people that he has put in my place and my path that I've been able to share my faith with, and just doing things that I would have never imagined me doing when I decided to retire 11 years ago. That was not on my bingo card. And so here I am today talking to you, and that's where 50 states has got me. Not through all 50 states as a goal, but it was a different goal that God had in mind for me.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, you've been alluding to it a little bit, but just talk about how cycling has impacted your Christian faith and, you know, how this has really turned into a ministry.
Well, as I kind of touched on before, it's really given me the confidence and, no pun intended, a vehicle to pedal my faith, or to share my faith, I guess would be a better way to say it.
Amen.
And just as we were talking ahead of time, you mentioned, we're talking about where are you at, and you mentioned you live in Bentonville. Oh, I bicycled through there. Well, that's one of the things, because I've been through all 50 states, I can pretty much tell you that I have ridden my bike somewhere close to where you are, unless it's somewhere in some really remote place and you don't meet that many people in these remote places. And it just gives you, it opens up doors. You start connecting with people and, well, tell me about your trip. Aren't you afraid out there? And I get a chance to share the things that I would have never been able to share had I just stayed in Northeast Ohio and rode around the roads here and got the same amount of miles in. So it's definitely given me a vehicle to share my faith. It's given me a lot more confidence. It has fundamentally changed what I do, who I am. Before I was, you know, I was a manager. I love to play basketball, not particularly tall enough to be very good at, but pick up games, coach, youth leagues, set up men's leagues, softball teams, softball leagues, you know, team sports, competitive sports. And, you know, that was what I did. And then all of a sudden I retired and I'm on this bicycle and I couldn't get off of it. I just had to keep pedaling and more and more experiences, but it did. It just fundamentally changed who I am as a believer in Christ, that I could share things with people that I never thought I would be able to do.
Let me ask you a question and kind of building on that and not using any names, but has there ever been like an example just like a situation where something like that happened that just really, really kind of sticks with you? It's kind of stuck with you that you know, just in your mind, you're like, hey, that was definitely a God moment. Being able to
well,
take sides
the first, the, that, yeah, the first book I wrote, it was called Bicycling Across America's Great Northwest. And it was When Fear and Faith Collide. And I got out there and I'm flying on a plane from my house. I was flying out to Seaside, Oregon on the coast. And I was going to ride back to a little town in the middle of South Dakota called Winter.
And yep, I know where that's at.
There you go. the home of Frank Leahy, the pheasant capital of the world, yeah. All that good stuff. But anyway, there's not much out there, as you will know.
Oh, yeah.
And what happened, I was riding from the east, and I was trying to get out to the west coast, and I failed miserably. And my wife had to come rescue me. She had to fly into Rapid City and rent a car and come out and get me. And anyway, so that was the end of the trip. And I didn't feel like a winner. I felt more like a loser. And so the next year I was going to go out and connect that route starting in Seaside, Oregon and ride back to Winter. The plane ride out there just scared me. I'm not a good flyer, but it was bouncy. And I thought, you know what? I'm looking down outside the window and I see all this barren deserts, these mountains. I thought, I'm going to be on a bicycle in a couple of weeks riding through this by myself for the first week and a half. Then my wife was going to join me in a car. She wasn't going to ride with me. And I just kept saying, you know, to myself, nobody is making you do this. And I started formulating plans in my mind. When I get there, I'm going to land. I'm just going to tell the guy that is going to pick me up and take me to the hotel, take me there. I won't tell him what I'm going to do, but I'm just going to take my bike and put it on and go back to the airport. And I'm going to send it back home and I'm going to rent a car or I'll just drive home. I'm not going to do this. I don't have to do it. Well, the Lord kind of got me. And it said, you know, you're going to do this. I put the bike together. And the very next morning, and I always prayed, you know, the 23rd Psalm before I left. Not that spectacular, but it was always kind of focused on, hey, Lord, I'm going to ride through the valley of the shadow of death. You need to protect me. And he stopped me after I got through the first verse. He says, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He says, you are not going to want on this trip. I am going to take care of you. And I didn't bring you out here to be miserable. I brought you out here to have a good time and enjoy it. And then tell others about it. And not that the trip was not without all kinds of experiences, because you asked, was there anything specific? This whole trip, there were 31 days that I could not call them coincidences. Every day something happened. Roads that I didn't know how I was going to get through. And I would stop at a little local cafe. I said, guys, it says this road's closed and I need to go another 20 miles. And I don't want to ride my bike over this rocky trail that I see. Oh, no. They said, hang on 1 second. Let me go get so-and-so. She's back here. She's familiar with these roads. And bring young little girl out. She goes, oh, yeah, you can ride there. They just opened up the road last night. It's completely, they just haven't taken the signs out. It's perfect. And so I rode on this beautiful, smooth road for 20 miles to get where I wanted to get to. Things like that. I met a pastor who just sat with me and prayed with me at a time I was struggling. Another young man, I said, you know, I got to leave. I got to climb early in the morning. I'm going to leave here at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I just got to have bananas, because once I get over the mountains, I'm going to hit the desert and bananas, you know, keep me from electrolytes. And I said, I couldn't find any bananas. He goes, hang on 1 second. Comes back 5 minutes later. He's got a whole bunch of bananas. He says, take as many as you want. And I'm going to pray for you. Every day was like this. And so when I got to the end of the road, back to Winter, 8 miles from Winter, I just sensed God's presence in my life so strong that I just knew that I had to write this book, whether or not I wanted to or not. And I had to do it the way he wanted me to do it. So, yeah, there's not just one specific incident. There was several of them.
You know, I love the name Winter, South Dakota, because basically the whole state could be called Winter. And the only thing even colder is North Dakota. So, and yeah, I've been, you guys, and just on a side joke, not to get too off tangent here, I've been in Grand Forks, North Dakota in the middle of January. So I know what that's like. Yes, I've been in the what I call the frozen tundra. So,
well, I'll tell you what, T.S., one of my dumber ideas was to go to Fargo, North Dakota, and I was going to ride down to Kansas City and meet my wife later on in October. She was a member of the Nazarene Theological Seminary. She's on the board there. And anyway, long story short, you don't want to start out the second week of October in Fargo, to try and ride a bicycle.
No.
And I got blizzarded in for a couple days. And then when I finally left, it was a 70-mile ride that with a 17-degree wind chill. And there's just all kinds of adventures there. But that's another book, another story.
That would, hey, basically, you wished you would have started a month and a half earlier.
Exactly. And you know what? I kind of joke with people. They've asked me about my book. I said, well, the first section starts out when I was a teenager, and it's called a collection of bad decisions. However, I think, I don't know why I restricted that just to the first part of my life, because I think some of my bicycling decisions have not always been the best. And I could include several other chapters later in life into that first section.
Well, I think we just may have covered your most challenging. Let's talk about your most rewarding.
Well, I will tell you the most rewarding, and that's a good question, because people say, what was your favorite state? And I always say, you got to define favorite, because, and I don't know if this was my favorite state, but it was by far the most rewarding. And that was Washington State, because I got there. And again, I already talked about how I was uncertain and fearful. And I knew my wife wasn't going to be there for several days. She wasn't going to meet me until I got to Idaho, which was about 8 days later. And so I knew it was all up to me to get across the mountain ranges. And I had a satellite phone, but it was buried deep in my pack, and it just, they were having record heat. And the fact that God just really revealed himself to me, and each day, all these things happened, that was rewarding. The scenery. I went from riding my bike along the Northern Pacific Highway next to the ocean, and then turn east, start climbing up the Cascades. You're through all these towering evergreens, and then you climb up and you cross over the Cascades, and then you head down into the eastern Washington deserts. And, you know, there was another one. I'd had no idea how I was going to find water for the next 50 miles. There was one little cafe that I thought, you know, might be a possibility, but nobody ever answered the phone. And when I got there, they were open. And the young gal started talking to her. I said, I couldn't get a hold of you guys. She goes, oh yeah, we just opened up 2 weeks ago. We haven't changed our hours or done anything yet. And I had a nice breakfast there. But that was so rewarding to go through that state, to see, you know, God's creation, to see the way he took care of me. And just also, you know, not a brag, but I was self-sufficient. I had to be self-sufficient on that. We had a great time when my wife and I connected, but I always knew that, you know, she was there within 50 to 100 miles to come rescue me if I had a real problem. In this case, I just had to keep going. There was no other alternative. So yeah, gotcha. I would say Washington State was the most rewarding.
Nice. That's awesome. I've been to Washington before. Beautiful country. Just
very beautiful. Beautiful.
I went to Seattle, and then I hit probably about 50 miles out from there in some areas. And it was, just what I saw was just absolutely gorgeous. And then we did an Alaskan cruise all the way up through there. That's just gorgeous territory. If you're a listener and you ever get a chance, go. I just tell you, just go and do
absolutely.
It. It's worth the trip. So,
but I would tell you this much, TS, where you're just riding along and you see Mount Rainier and you realize, hey, I'm not supposed to get there for another 3 days. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It's an unsettling feeling. And when I started climbing that afternoon, the temperature hit 104 degrees. And I rested up, and then that's when the guy gave me the bananas. I left at 4 o'clock the next morning, climbed up into the cold, and then descended into another 90 degree day.
Nice. Nice. Well, so here's another question for you that I think is really interesting. For you, as you started this journey with cycling, how is that now that you've kind of hit all these states and you've done this, you've kind of, I'm not going to say just been there, done that, but you sort of have. So how has it changed now for you, now that you've kind of hit all these places, but yet you continue to cycle?
You know, one of the things that's kind of come about in the last few weeks, and I'll embarrass myself by telling this story. So the first books arrived. They were on these boxes from Amazon on my front porch, and we pulled into our driveway, and it was a crack of lightning and thunder, and it starts pouring down rain. And so I start hustling these books inside the house. And before I'm done, I pick one up, and the box shifted and my back went out. And so long story short, I've been hobbled for a few weeks. I've been on physical therapy. It's coming back around. and had to take it some time off the bike just to allow my body to recuperate. But the Lord kind of laid it on me as I started looking at my next book and how we were going to structure this. And it's just funny how things just kind of come at the times they do. Yep. And I was listening to a folk indie radio station, and they came on with an old bird song, "Turn, Turn, Turn, To Everything There Is a Season."
Yep.
And it just, it resonated with me that, you know what, your cycling season may not be as long as what you think it is. And there may be another season in your life that I have in store for you. And it may not include as much cycling or running or doing the things that you used to do. And it may be spending more time talking on podcasts or marketing or speaking to youth groups or doing things that you didn't feel comfortable doing with. So it you've caught me at a kind of a crossroads, or, you know, I don't know if the seasons are changing in my life or if this is just a temporary thing and I'm just dealing with some injuries and things. But I did feel earlier this year, I decided I was going to run another marathon. I didn't think I was going to do it. I ran Boston. I finally qualified for that. I didn't get faster. I just got older. So the qualifying time allowed me to get and do it. And so I ran another marathon, not with the intent of qualifying, but just to make it a nice kind of round number, 25. I thought that was 25 marathons was good. And then I thought, well, I'm going to challenge myself again, because when I finished Boston, I rode all through New England. I did a 500-mile ride. So this time I was out on the East Coast, down near Florida, and I was going to ride from St. Augustine down to Key West. It was 500 miles, and I did it. And I got done, and I drove two straight days back, and I ran a 5K here. And I hobbled myself, and I still feel like this was March, and I'm still recovering. Wow. But when I was riding down there, I kept thinking, you know, this is not as easy as what it was 5-10 years ago when I was doing some of these trips. And I just felt just a little bit of a tweak that God says, you know, you just can't jump out of an airplane and say, "God save me, protect me." You know, you got to use a little bit of wisdom too. You know, you can't say, "Hey, I'm going to run a marathon, then I'm going to ride my bike 500 miles down to Key West." You know, "Amen, take care of me. See ya. See ya at the end." And so it just kind of put that thought in my mind, maybe help prepare me for some of these injuries that I've been dealing with here the last few weeks. Yeah, you might be entering a new season in your life.
Yeah.
And I have to pray that, I tell you what, a couple times when I was really hurting and I couldn't do things, I had to pray, "Lord, if this is the case, help me to be accepting of this and to be open to whatever it is you may want me to do."
Amen. Yeah. I mean, hey, we all walk through seasons and there's changes and, you know, sometimes, and part of those transitions, I'm just going to say this, the transitions in life, they incorporate a few stages and a few characteristics. Number one, it's learning to grab on what God is putting in front of you, but also to let go of what God is pulling you away from. And we used to, it's kind of an interesting thing. When you're walking forward, everybody visualize yourselves walking forward. If you want to keep going forward and being productive in God's, in the way that God's calling you and doing it the way he wants and walk that narrow and straight path, you cannot do it with your head turned around. You can't be looking south. You know, you can't be looking in your, at your six all the time. If you're going to walk at your 12, you can't do that. You're going to walk off the path. As a matter of fact, 2 days ago, I was, somebody was walking behind me and they were jingling. There was like this jingle and I turned around to see them and I kept walking forward and I walked off the path and fell down. So, and it was just and I don't know why, maybe God had me do that to remind to tell listeners about that in this part of the story that you just brought up. But we can't be dragging things from the past and keep walking forward and keep our head turned backwards and walk in the way that God wants us to do. We've got to let things go. Obviously, you know, we can go back to the whole Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot's wife. I mean, that's really what got her, is that she couldn't let go of what God wanted her to let go of. That is really the point of that story for people to learn. And so if there are transitions for all of you, just like Joe has talked about, he's not sure if this is a transition yet, but he certainly is saying that that possibility will come at some point. Could be now, it could be later. When God does that, we need to cling to the cross and hold everything else in our life with an open hand to God. That's how we make it through transitions, because we should, we allow him to give it to us and we allow him to take it away from us. We don't.
And you know, TS, what has helped me so much in the past year too, is I've been writing, and a lot of times when I was working, I'd wake up 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, oh man. And I was responsible for a 3-shift operation. And so I wanted to get up and get in there. I said, no sense of falling back asleep for another half hour. It's not going to happen. And I just get up, you know, get ready and go to work. And now I said, I got to get up. I got to start working on this book. It's quiet. I can do it. And the Lord just checked me and said, I want you to spend time read in the scriptures and in prayer before you sit down and tap anything out on that computer, and keep your mind clear so that when you get to that computer, you start that it's going to be my words and not your words.
Amen.
And so it's easy to say, you know, pray, you know, I'm a pray first kind of guy, or I'm a pray first kind of girl, or pray first kind of church. But what does that really mean? It means praying first before you do anything. Now I get some people have schedules and it just doesn't permit them to do that. And they find a different way, but that's the way he's laid it out for me. And, it has been to get you through those transitions. For example, when I talked about when I thought I was being called to retire early, it was a struggle for me to let go of what I was used to doing for 35 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then I did do some consulting after that, but, and the interesting thing was I made connections with people that I would have never made through the consulting work, that now as I've started sharing on podcasts and my faith through the book and things like that, that would have never been connected with in the past. So yeah, just pray first. And like I said, you're right. The transitions are what makes it the difficult part. Time to scatter and a time to gather.
Exactly. Amen. And sometimes though, it's the transitions that God really grows our character, and he is more concerned with our character than he is sometimes with the parts that you're doing. He truly is. And we have to remember that God is always about character growth. He wants to grow you to be more like him. That's what he's trying to do. That is the ultimate thing, so that you will glorify him. And he wants your story to glorify him. So,
amen.
Well, Joe, man, I hate this, because we could keep talking, brother. We could keep talking. However, we do have to start wrapping up, because we're getting close to that time, and we're a little bit over the time. And we talked about that before the show started, but Joe, if somebody wants to get a hold of your books, want to get in connection to any type of your ministries and stuff, how can they do that?
Well, if you want to get a book, the easiest way is just to go on Amazon and just look for Pale Pink Roads, and that'll take you right to the book. And you can either get the Kindle or the soft cover if you. So that's the easiest way. Or if you want to learn more about me, and it still has links to Amazon, or if you want a signed copy, if that's important to you, you can go through my website, and it's Joe T Bikes. That's pretty simple. So just go Joe T Bikes. It's got I've been working on it. I've been updating it. I've got a lot of links to a lot of the ministries that I'm supporting, and some of the things that I'm doing with donations, and give people different chances of actually riding. After being off my bike for 9 days, I'm trying to get back on Saturday. I'm doing a Cleveland does a thing called Velosano, which is a big thing to raise money for cancer. And they've done over $80 million in the last few years. And, you know, I struggled with a little bit about this, and just real quick, because I thought, hey, I'm going to put my faith in God to be a healer. But God also says, you know, you need to do your due diligence. Again, don't jump out of the airplane and say, save me. Don't say, God, send somebody to fix my cancer if I come down with cancer. Do some things to try and give people a chance to research and come up with that. So yeah, I'm doing that. And there's links to those donations on there as well too. So I'd appreciate any support anybody feels led to give.
All right. Well, amen. And so now we got to wrap up the show today. And I just want to thank you for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast and being here on this particular episode. And again, hit that follow, subscribe button, give us a like. And as we wrap up, I just want to say on behalf of myself and Joe, it's been great having you on the show. Glad you've been here, my friend.
I've enjoyed it.
You bet. And it's awesome. And we, maybe who knows, sometime we can have you back. But, as I said, on behalf of myself and Joe, I am T.S. Wright. Now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Thank you for listening to the show. And this week, we want to give our big shout out across the pond to London, England. You guys have been a major supporter of the show, The Kingdom Crossroads, and we want to thank you for that. We want to thank you for everything that you have done and continuing to build our base there in London with more and more downloads and more people listening to our show from London. We ask you to continue to spread the word about our show, as well as let's start reaching more people for Christ, and let's start seeing if we can put discipleship at front and center in making disciples in London, England. Again, we thank you for being a part of this community, and at some point, we would love to come over there and to be able to work with you to help you and bring the God-centered concept over to London. We thank you again for the support of this community, and we again ask you for your continued support in spreading the word and helping this show grow. Thank you so much, London, and God bless you, and we pray for you that God will continue to use you in these amazing ways, and that God will continue to expand his word and the gospel right there in London. Thank you so much, and God bless all of you.